The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
It's my very pleasant task to extend the first of the welcomes in this session. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, we have an expression which speaks of ngā hau e whā, the four winds. Welcome to you all who've come from the four winds of the globe. Welcome to the enormous privilege that is ours as members of the Anglican Consultative Council. Welcome to the many pleasures that will be ours as members of the Anglican Consultative Council. Welcome to the occasional pain that membership of the Anglican Consultative Council can bring. Welcome to the busy agenda. Some initial acknowledgements of thanks. And thanks must go to our staff for the many hours, weeks, months even of preparation in the production of papers, in the design for the meeting itself, and for getting us here mostly safely. I mean mostly in terms of one or two are still to arrive. And an initial thanks to our gracious hosts, the Church of the Province of the West Indies and in this diocese, for taking the risk of inviting us. Can I invite our President, Archbishop Rowan, to speak?
Friends, welcome to this session of the Anglican Consultative Council. I'm very delighted that we are able to meet here in Jamaica, and not only to meet, but to share something of the life of the local church. In our small group this afternoon, a number of people raised the question of what the ACC has to do with local churches around the world. How do you actually explain to people in the parishes of the communion why we're here, what we're doing, and why we matter? The answer to that is quite a long one. But part of it, surely, is that when we do meet, we attempt to listen to the immediate reality of a local church. And I know that we are going to be very deeply enriched by our experience of the church in this island. And I very much want to repeat Bishop John's warm thanks to our hosts here, to those represented on the platform who have made us already in the last few days so very, very welcome. Those of us who have been here meeting as the Finance Committee and the Joint Standing Committee have already experienced something of the warmth of Jamaican hospitality, and we are very delighted that, as I've said, we shall be not only treated to parties and the delights of Jamaican social life, but also able to see something of other aspects of the kingdom of God at work in this island. Given that I hope you believe in a good gospel sense that parties and social life have something to do with the kingdom of God. However, we're not here simply for parties and social life as a consultative council. This is quite a full agenda, as you've heard, but we've attempted so to scale it and scope it that it won't feel, we hope and trust, too packed and too pressurized. We have in this attempted to learn some lessons from the experience of last year's Lambeth Conference. And among those lessons, one of the most important, I think, was this. In large groups, people will, for the most part, only speak if they can trust those around them to hear. And they will only trust those around them to hear what they're saying if they've had some experience at depth of talking and praying and relating together. During the course of the Lambeth Conference, many very precious relationships were created in that way, sustained and deepened. And we hope that the structure of this council meeting will repeat something of what was possible at Lambeth last year. That's to say, we hope that the experience of smaller groups, Bible study, discussion, and discernment in smaller groups will enrich and focus our plenary discussions. However, unlike the Lambeth Conference, we do have a constitution. And that constitution requires us to make certain decisions with clarity. And so you'll see in the construction of our programme a fairly clear distinction between different kinds or levels of meeting. Those of you who have the programme may like to look again at the final page, page 12 of that programme, and I'll just very briefly run over the rationale of what is said there. Those notes on the programme begin, appropriately, by speaking of worship and Bible study. And one of the aspects of the hospitality offered to us here is, of course, the chaplaincy provided for our meeting by the local church, especially through the ministry of Canon Colin Reed. Our Bible studies will take us through St. Mark's Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as in other meetings of the communion, it must be our hope and prayer that that framing of our business in worship and Bible study will permeate everything that we do, so that in all things God may be glorified, in all things we may be seeking daily and hourly to open ourselves to God's word, that in all things our work may be an occasion for thanksgiving and growth in the Holy Spirit. But in terms of the way we do our business, you'll see a distinction drawn there between information plenaries, discernment groups, and decision-making plenaries in the first instance. Information plenaries are exactly what they say they are. They're occasions for all of us to be updated on where some of the business of the communion is, and I'll say a word later about the particularly significant subjects involved there. These plenaries are intended to clarify what is before us, to give people opportunity to ask the questions which they need to ask, so that our discussion and decision may be honest and clear-headed. But just as important in that process will be the discernment groups. Groups of 20 or so members meeting at different points in the programme, so that they may discuss in smaller units the business that will be before the council as a whole. And those groups, rather like the Indaba groups at Lambeth, will be animated and steered by people trained in facilitating a discussion in which everyone may be heard. And those two together, information plenaries and discernment groups, make up the backdrop to the decision-making plenaries where the business is finally dealt with. You'll note the two other categories there of network groups and the ecumenical streams. Networks of the communion report to the consultative council, and the network groups are simply an attempt to find the best and most creative way of engaging members of the council with this work. Similarly, with the ecumenical streams, where once again we expect reports to this council, and we're trying to find ways of making it possible for as many people as can be managed to interact directly with those responsible for the networks, matters of concern, and the ecumenical agenda. If you look at the subjects touched on in the programme, you'll see that apart from the ecumenical streams, which are of huge importance, of course, there is a strong predominance in the early part of the meeting towards the large-scale business of the communion, in particular the proposals for an Anglican covenant, a final draft of which is now before you, and some of the recommendations which have emerged from the Windsor Continuation Group, the group which I charged some 18 months ago with commenting on and steering the whole implementation of the Windsor Report and its business. We hope that out of this council will come some clear direction about the future of the covenant, and also some clear direction about what the instruments of communion might be doing to respond to the challenges of the Windsor Report and to move forward in new and perhaps more responsive, flexible, and user-friendly ways to the crises which the communion continues to face. In all that, I would simply ask for your prayers and the prayers of the local church that our discernment may be faithful and careful and clear. But as the agenda moves on, you will notice that in the last few days, there are some new and, I hope, challenging elements introduced. A week today, we shall be hearing about the project for the Bible in the life of the church, part of our attempt as a communion to penetrate more deeply into the mysteries of God's Word and find out what is being said in the church today in response to God's self-communication and how we share ways of interpreting across the communion. You'll see that there's opportunity also for reflection on what we have seen of the mission of the local church, and you'll note that on Monday the 11th there will be opportunity to hear about the Evangelism and Church Growth Initiative. So my own hope for this session of the Council is that we shall be moving through some of the difficult business of the communion structures towards a proper focus on theology and on mission. A proper focus on theology as creative and converting engagement with God's revelation, a proper focus on mission as one of the elements that most securely and profoundly binds us together as a communion, not just an assembly of local enterprises. To strengthen the life of the communion is not an end in itself. We are not meeting here to design more and better committees. To strengthen the life of the communion is surely only important if it strengthens the mission of the communion. And that is why the agenda moves in that direction, and why I hope that by the time we have got to the end of this taxing, and I hope properly challenging agenda, we shall be moving away from here, renewed in a sense of the mission that does bind us together, and what that makes possible for us and those with whom we seek to share the good news. So to conclude, once again, you are very welcome here to this meeting. I look forward personally very much to sharing with you in the days to come, hearing of your experiences, your wisdom, your challenges. I look forward to our engagement with the local church. I look forward to what ACC 14 is going to contribute to the life and health, the faithfulness and vigour of our communion together under God. Thank you very much.